Through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morning, Tim. How are you?
Kia ora. Feeling good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. Zoe just ate a strawberry, I should say.
But a delicious berry.
It was quite tart and the face that you made was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Only this wasn't radio.
It was tough going down.
What's up on the media this week?
Well, before we get to that, Zoe, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm totally fine.
Living your best life.
I'm present. The strawberry has been consumed.
I don't mind if you're distracted. I don't mind if you're tuned out. I just worry about your airway not being clear of a strawberry.
The airway is completely clear.
Sick, sick, sick. Then we will proceed at pace.
Excellent. What's going on in the media, Tim?
Don't know if you guys saw this, but the Queen died.
It did cross my radar, yes.
Yeah, Lizzie has passed away at the age of 96. It was just like, there's been a mind-blowing amount of reporting around this. Reporting's probably the wrong word. Coverage is the correct word, I think.
Yeah.
I actually have been listening to BFM a little bit more just because you guys aren't like, it's not in the news every single day,
I
find really refreshing. But, you know, this is obviously a huge deal to a lot of people. It's got enormous symbolic importance. She's been the reigning sovereign for 7 decades. For 99% of Earth's population, she has been the person for their whole life who's been leading the British Empire and the British royal family, which is an increasingly irrelevant institution, but still a lot of pageantry, splashy. It's sort of a made-for-TV event in a lot of ways, which I think is why a lot of New Zealand media outlets have sent, there's a lot of reporters over there. Like I've been quite surprised by the number of people that New Zealand has sent over to London to cover all of the events and the ceremonies and the sequence of what happens with the coronation of the new sovereign, King Charles III. So I don't know, man, I've got nothing insightful to say about it except it's happening and the media absolutely loves it.
It's interesting. I don't know if you've been following much of the British media's coverage of it, because that's, you know, what we've got times 50 million at the moment, and their coverage is quite ropey in some places, because people are just there's 24/7 media coverage of it. So at some point the commentators kind of just run out of things to say, and they sort of end up talking about, I saw a clip of them talking about how the Queen was so good at acting opposite Paddington Bear London Olympic ceremony, and isn't it amazing because Paddington Bear was not actually there, he was animated in afterwards. I was like, these people are losing their minds.
Yeah, that clip was a particularly good one. The guy who was astounded that the Queen was able to pull off this experience, and that there wasn't actually a Paddington Bear there at the time. It's like,
I don't know if you
know, bro. We know how CGI works. Have you just found this out? There has been some lighter moments as well, the new king losing his mind over a pen on two separate occasions,
both
of them going viral. So I don't mean to make light of what is a very big event for some people. But, you know, considering its real world importance, I think it has had a disproportionate amount of coverage.
It's definitely political. It's a political death. You can't swing that, you know, any other way.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting when we actually do get some coverage of what it means for us in New Zealand.
Let's move on for fear of adding to that pile.
What else have we got going on in the media?
Quick little Twitter update for you all.
Yes.
So this week there was a shareholder call on Wednesday. I think it was yesterday our time, to see what the shareholders wanted to do regarding the sale to Elon Musk. Frequent listeners of Media Bat will remember that the world's richest man, Elon Musk, promised and signed a legal agreement to purchase Twitter for $44 billion. Twitter is currently worth $32 billion, and Elon has been trying to weasel out of the deal by hook or by crook, claiming that more than 5% of Twitter is bots and using some very, very questionable methodology to prove his point.
Crikey.
So the shareholders, if they decided not to endorse the sale, it could have ended the impending legal battle. They didn't. They're like, tally ho, let's do it. So everything's going to court next month in Delaware. I'm very excited to see how this goes.
It will be very interesting to see how that goes. That has been a drawn out one for sure.
Yeah, and it'll be quite consequential, you know. It's a lot of money, it's a powerful man, and it's a pretty big social media platform. So we'll see how that goes next month. Speaking of the legal system, I just wanted to highlight something that actually happened 2 weeks ago. So not new news, but kind of news. A true crime podcast that started in 2018, which people have probably heard of, called The Teacher's Pet, which explored this 40-year-old cold case murder in Australia, has generated a murder conviction.
Whoa.
A couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
yeah.
My
so
gosh.
This is, if you haven't heard of it, it's an Aussie podcast put out by the Australian newspaper. It's hosted by a journalist called Hedley Thomas. And it delves into the possible murder of Lynette Dawson, who disappeared in 1982, and casts a huge amount of suspicion and presents a lot of pretty damning evidence on her then husband, now widower, I think is the term, Chris Dawson, who was a teacher at the time and found to be having sex with teenage girls and at least one student. The police charged Chris Dawson the same year the podcast came out in 2018. And on the 30th of August this year, he was found guilty of murder at trial. How much impact did the podcast have? A lot. A New Zealand media and defamation lawyer named Ali Ramenos said, this is a quote from Ali, clearly the podcast had a significant impact on this case. In the judgment, the word podcast is referred to 54 times.
Whoa.
Hedley Thomas himself was called to give evidence. His name appears 137 times in the judgment.
Far out.
Hasn't been sentenced yet, but the podcast has had an interesting journey through navigating its legal obligations. At one point, it had to be pulled from Australian distribution because there was a court case going on, and they have been following the trial recently. On every Friday, they've put out a new episode informing people about what's been happening at the trial. So really interesting, consequential evidence of what's possible in the world of podcasting. Also, it is Te Wiki o Te Reo.
It is indeed. And 50 years since the petition was taken to Parliament.
Exactly. And on that note, two recommends for stuff to watch. To be fair, there's one on TVNZ and one on Three. So Speak No Māori is a documentary on TVNZ, free for you to watch as a New Zealander. You paid for it because you're a taxpayer. And
so get amongst.
Yeah, I haven't watched the whole thing yet, tragically, but I'm going to make some time later this week to hoon it. It's, as you say, Rachel, to mark the 50th year anniversary of Māori language petition being handed to Parliament, and it chronicles the struggles of Te Reo through colonisation and maps the revitalisation that's happened recently for the language. It looks beautiful. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't watched it yet, but I this is a good reminder because it's been on my sort of long list of things to do this week, and I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, me too. The other one to watch, which is on Three now, is Mike McRoberts leading a documentary about his own journey with his Māoriness, the guilt that he's carried about not being stronger with his reo and his tikanga, and it's got some really raw moments in it. There's this super interesting part where he speaks with the now Minister for Broadcasting, Willie Jackson, about a column that Willie Jackson wrote years and years ago before he was in government that really called out Mike McRoberts and caused a lot of pain for him. So that's yeah, a really interesting sort of more personal journey that you can watch at Three now. And yeah, that is the Te Wiki o Te Reo stuff. And I just want to give a shout out to a totally unrelated podcast that I'm doing at the moment.
It's got
to
be done. It's got to be done, Tim. What's happening? What are you doing?
It's called Did Titanic Sink?
A question on everyone's lips.
And
yeah,
did it?
Exactly. Look, it's a bit of fun if you're looking for a bit of frivolity and also like learning things about old maritime disasters.
Nice.
It's being released at the moment on RNZ, and we had a lot of fun making it. It's me and my friend Carlo Ritchie, who's an Australian comedian, and Carlo's like one of the smartest dudes I've ever met, but he's convinced that the Titanic didn't actually sink. And he is, honestly, he knows more about the Titanic than I know about anything.
Wow.
Like the level of detail and evidence that he has brought to bear is quite incredible. So if you're kind of into like the fun side of conspiracy theories, you might want to check it out. It's called Did Titanic Sink?
I've got to say, it's nice to be reminded that the fun conspiracy theories actually still exist out there.
Yeah, I know, right?
The phrase conspiracy theory has really been brought into some murky territory in the last few years. Let's get it back to these kooky ones, eh?
That was completely the reason why I wanted to do it. It's because like it used to be all moon landings and Area 51, and now they're all politically loaded and awful. And yeah, we wanted to bring back a kind of not super consequential one that's just more like a really interesting thought experiment.
Exactly. Hey, thank you, Tim. Did Titanic sink? It's in all the usual places, I imagine, you go get a podcast.
You got it.
Excellent. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Tim.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.